Praise God. All right, you guys ready for the Bible today? Cool. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 14. I got a fun word tonight. It's going to be an encouragement to us. Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 7. The title of my message tonight is Friend, Go Up Higher. Can you say it with me? Friend, go up higher. Awesome. All right, Luke chapter 14, verse 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they would choose the best place, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honorable than you," say honorable, "be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come to you and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place." That'd be not a good day. Embarrassing. Verse 10. "But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when you are invited, then when he who invited you comes up, he may say to you, 'Friend,'" say, "Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Verse 12. "Then he also said to them who were invited, 'When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." I want to read one more scripture into the record tonight. Go with me to Proverbs 18. Book of Proverbs, somewhere right in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs 18. In verse 24, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." That's just good wisdom right there. If you lack friends, look in the mirror. See if your face says that you should have friends. Amen. But, say but. But's a big word in the Bible. "But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Let's pray. God, tonight, I thank you for your word. God, sometimes we sit down to eat and it's like oatmeal and it's just to nourish our body. And sometimes we sit down to eat and it's like pie. And tonight, God, we're wanting some pie. God, we're wanting just to enjoy your word. God, we love your word. We want to eat it tonight and be glad. And God, we're thanking you for sunshine, and we're thanking you for this season in our souls. God, those of us who have graduated or have gotten out of school, we thank you, God, for this season of summertime. And tonight, God, I'm asking that you just refresh us in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. How many of you guys have ever met somebody famous? You guys ever met somebody famous? We do this kind of weird thing, so at least some people do. I talked to this guy a couple months ago. And he was talking to me, and he was like, you know, he wasn't a prideful guy. He was just, you know, we're just having a conversation. He was telling me he met a guy named Dave Matthews. Some of you guys know who that is. Pretty incredible musician. And he had met Bill Gates. And when somebody talks to you, like, you know, they tell you that they met somebody, they talk to you like they know that person sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? And it kind of just, it weirds me out when I'm in a situation where I run into somebody that's famous or somebody that I hold in high esteem, because, you know, part of me wants to meet them. But I really don't want to meet them like, hey, I shook their hand. I want to actually, like, sit down and have dinner with them and actually, you know, learn from them. And, you know, and so I never quite know what to say, you know. You walk up to somebody, you're like, "Hi, I'm Reed," like the other 500,000 people that do the same thing to you. And you're never going to remember me or know me, and kind of doesn't really matter that I ever met you, actually. But here I am anyway. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's just kind of this awkward thing. I grew up in Montana, and the little place where I grew up was on a beautiful lake. And so there's some famous people that grew up in the area that I lived in. There was a guy named Phil Jackson. How many of you guys know who that is? He used to be the coach of the Chicago Bulls for Michael Jordan and that group, and then he moved over to the LA Lakers, and he coached Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, and I think he's back, right? He's a total space cadet, a weird guy, but I met him. I met him, and my dad actually knew the guy, okay? And so there's another guy named John Lithgow that lived down the road. How many of you guys know who he is? Yeah, he played on this sitcom called Third Rock from the Sun. Really funny guy. And I actually knew him. Like, my dad would actually go and do work for him, and he was just the coolest guy. He was so just normal and whatever, okay? So those are the two famous guys I knew. I met Howie Long, who was an incredible football player, and he's the commentator guy. Really neat guy, too. He's married this really sweet little native lady in Montana. So those are the people that I've met that are famous. And none of them probably even remember my name. In fact, I know none of them remember my name. And it kind of doesn't really matter that I ever met him. But there was one guy that I actually had a friendship with that was a guy of consequence. He was a general on Elmendorf Air Force Base. In fact, he was the general of what's called PACAF, the Pacific Air Force. And he was an incredible man. He was a Christian. And I ended up kind of getting into his son's life. His son was a teenager, and he was just kind of doing whatever he wanted to do. So I got into his son's life and started ministering to him. And I ended up actually having dinner with them and having breakfast on many occasions with this guy. And it was an incredible experience because we're talking, he was brilliant. He commanded literally tens of thousands of people. At his finger, they moved. And he was a genius. He showed me his comprehensive 20-year plan for the Air Force in Alaska. You know, and it was just like, oh my gosh, you know, and you're sitting there, and I was a total nobody. Like, I barely even, I was in the military for like a year at that point, 2 years maybe. And it was incredible because I really had nothing to offer him, but he befriended me. And to sit and to listen to the stories, I went to his house and there were zebra skins on the wall and there was silver platters that were from Turkey that were all handmade. I mean, just some stuff that, you know, you never really see in your life. And it was amazing to me, this friendship. Now, I wasn't in his council or like his inner circle or anything like that, but I actually knew him. You guys know what I'm talking about? There was a real relationship there. And there's something in us that longs for a relationship that's more than just a peer relationship. You guys know what I'm talking about? When you tell your stuff to your friend, they hear it and they love you and they can maybe counsel you a little bit. But how many of you know if you tell your stuff to somebody who can do something about it, it's a different deal, right? And so the message tonight, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Right, we've been talking about the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven is like a man who. And all of these other things that the kingdom of heaven is, right? And when we started, we started in Genesis, remember? And we talked about the kingdom lost. That Adam and Eve lost this kingdom authority that was given to them. You guys remember that? And so now we're in a place where we're looking for the kingdom of again. And Jesus comes on the earth and he reestablishes the kingdom. And then he says that that kingdom is inside of you. And so tonight I want to take a look at a story. And I want to just glean some stuff about what it means to be a friend of a king. Can you say that with me? A friend of a king. 1 Samuel. How are you guys doing good tonight? You guys doing good? 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'm not going to blow your mind tonight with vast depths of exegetical knowledge. I just want to bless your soul tonight. When we did our series on the book of Revelation, I talked about this word doulos. You guys remember that? It means to be a slave, right? And the Apostle John said that he was a slave of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you tonight that a slave is where it starts. But that's not where it ends. We declare ourselves a slave to Jesus, but he declares something different over our lives. He declares something better. So I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now, 1 Samuel 17 is where David slays Goliath. It gives you a little bit of context. So he goes strolling up to King Saul, with Goliath's head in his hand. I just imagine this little, like, junior higher with this, like, big old massive head in his hand with, I mean, this would be nasty. I don't even know why they did stuff like that. You know, like the, remember that one place where he had like 100 or 400 foreskins in a bucket, you know? And then there's like, you know, he just brings the head in. You're thinking, who cares? What is the deal? It's, praise God we don't live back then. All right, 1 Samuel 18. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. This is an amazing thing. I love Jonathan. I actually named my firstborn son after this guy. And a couple weeks ago, the Lord was just ministering to me, and I felt him ask me this question. Would you rather be overrated or underrated as a Christian? Would you rather be overrated or underrated as a Christian? Our pride wants to be overrated, right? We want everybody to see every little good thing that we do. But I think that the question was a rhetorical one, and I think the Lord knew the answer. I think he wanted me to say, Lord, I want to be underrated. I want people to see the tip of the iceberg and know that there's more depth to my soul. And I've been praying that for this ministry and for us, that there would be more to us than meets the eye, right? And so this man, Jonathan, he's that way. And it's one of the reasons I named my firstborn son after him, because Jonathan was an incredible man. He was not like his father. Okay, his father Saul was the first king of Israel, right? And it's amazing because when his father Saul was anointed, he was not anointed from the horn or from the ram's horn, but he was anointed through a man-made vessel. And the significance of that is that if you go back to the story of when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, that if you remember, the ram got caught in the thicket by its horn. And so the nation of Israel from that time on saw the horn as God's sovereign choosing and God's deliverance. That was the significance of the ram's horn. And so the children of Israel said, we want a king. And God said, I'll give you a king. But in essence, it wasn't God's choosing. God said, okay, this will be your guy, but he's not my guy. And so Saul built a kingdom, and he did lots of things wrong, and he ended up losing his kingdom, right? Well, his son Jonathan didn't follow in his footsteps. In fact, Jonathan would have been an amazing king. Jonathan was a powerful warrior. He was a humble man. He was, in many ways, just like David. Jonathan would have been an incredible king. But he wasn't chosen by God. And so this man David, and you gotta see what's really going on here, okay? You have a prince, and you have a shepherd, okay? Because at this time, David is not the David that we know, right? He's the shepherd boy. And so you have the king and his son, the prince, and you have this nobody shepherd boy that nobody even knows was anointed. The only people that knew that was his brothers and Samuel. Nobody knew that he was called to be king. And so he comes and he brings in the head of Goliath, and Jonathan takes off the prince's robe, and he takes his belt and his sword and his armor, and he gives it to David. Think about that. He just took his kingdom and gave it to somebody else. The first thing I want to learn from this story is the way that we become the friend of a king is that we recognize, even though we have a kingdom, you see, we have an illegal kingdom. You guys remember we talked about that? When Adam and Eve fell, they still had a kingdom, but now the king of this kingdom is a wicked king. And so we're a part of that kingdom. And we still have authority, and we still have responsibility and all these things to this old kingdom. And Jonathan had a kingdom. his father, who was the people's choice, but not God's choice, was going to hand him a kingdom of man. And Jonathan saw something bigger. Jonathan took the kingdom of man and he set it aside for another king to rule his life. The first thing that we do is we do like John and we become slaves. We become servants. Because what we have to do to first become a friend of God is we have to submit ourselves to him as a slave. We put ourselves under his authority. We take this kingdom that is our life and everything that we or our parents or whoever else wants us to do, and we take it off and we hand it to another. And we hand it to somebody that may not look like it's all that at the time. You know, how many of you guys, when you got saved, you didn't see Jesus coming on a cloud of glory and like, oh, it's amazing, I'm totally going to give everything to you. Some of us just saw that our kingdom was not all that. And we saw somebody who was honest and true and faithful. And we saw the character traits of Jesus Christ. And we decided to give our life to him, right? But it's incredible because Jonathan doesn't become David's slave. Jonathan yokes in this covenant relationship of friendship with David. And all the rest of his life, Jonathan is in this place where he's stuck between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, right? His father wants to kill David. In other words, the kingdom of this world wants to destroy the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is full of grace, full of truth, full of mercy, full of love, full of life. And Jonathan finds himself stuck right in the middle. And Jonathan's father knows it. And so Jonathan's father at times just gets, you know, mad at him and yells at him and does all kinds of things. But Jonathan doesn't just stay a slave or a servant of David. But he goes on into this relationship. I want to turn to what Jesus said in a couple of places here in the Gospels. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Good stuff. Start in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will be able to abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for his friend. Listen to this, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. This is incredible to me. At GM, you know what, we emphasize, and maybe sometimes too much, being a servant, being a slave to Jesus Christ, because it's important. But Jesus says, time out. You humble yourself as slaves, but I call you something different. I call you friends. You see, tonight, his heart is not to have you as a servant. God the Father has thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of servants who are perfect. All the angels in heaven could do his will without even thinking twice. I mean, you guys know that we think at least twice usually before we serve him. But he's chosen us to be his friends. He wants a kingdom of kings. You remember that? Not a kingdom of slaves or subjects. Everything belongs to the king. But he has said, friend, come up higher. We come in to the banquet table of the Lord. And we come in at the foot of the table and we humble ourselves. And he says, hey, Tim Eby, why don't you come sit by me? You're my friend. Don't sit down there with the slaves. Come sit by me. I'm your master, but I'm your friend. this is a simple word tonight, but I hope it sinks into your spirit. Because we can have the slave mentality. And guess what? If you're a slave, the master doesn't share with you what he's doing. If you're a friend, he talks to you. He says, hey, Quentin, this is what I want to do in Anchorage. What do you think? What do you think? He's the king. He can do whatever. But he invites you alongside. He says, hey, Amanda Tompkins, I love these kids. And I'm kind of thinking I want to empower you to minister here. What do you think about that? He doesn't come and say, hey, Heather Yule, go to the nations. Okay. That's not how it works. He draws you. He woos you. He brings you alongside. And he calls you a friend. No longer do I call you slaves. Slaves don't know what the masters are doing. But I call you friends. And he says this thing that's kind of hard to hear. And he says, you're my friend if you do whatever I command you. It's like, oh, thanks. That sounds like a friendship. You're my friend. Hey, James, you're my friend if you do everything I say. Here's what we can't forget. We can't forget that our friend's a king, right? I mean, if I was a good friend of Governor Palin, good friend, have dinner over there at their house all the time, if I was sitting talking to her face-to-face, I'd probably call her Sarah, right? That would make sense. You know, long-time friend, 10 years. If she walked in this room, I would say Governor Palin, right? We get this mentality sometimes that being a friend of God is like, you know, we see the shirt, Jesus is my homeboy, okay? Jesus is not your homeboy. And the world, okay, if you wear the shirt, I'm not going to weird out on you. I'm not like just freaking out. Take a deep breath. It's okay. Don't worry. But listen, this world doesn't need a friend that's a peer. They need a friend that's a king. Because a peer can't help them just like a peer can't help you. When I go to my secret place with the Lord, oh, it's awesome. Jesus and I, we're just chilling. We're hanging out. We're being best friends. But when I walk out into this world, this is my friend that's the king. And because of this relationship that I have with him, I have access to his throne. I have access to his power, to his healing, to his authority. You guys see what I'm saying? This world doesn't need access to his, like, you know, to the chillin' side of things. They need his kingship to come their way and convict them and change them. And then the intimacy happens. Is that making sense to you guys? So this friend that says, friend, come up higher as a king, and we honor him. And I can just see, you know, like in the book of Esther, when Esther goes before the king and she finds favor with the king. She had built this relationship, but she could have lost her life because this one that she had been intimate with, who she had favor with, was still a king. And so we fear him as the king, but yet he says, friend, draw nearer. And I just want to release you tonight. If you have the slave mentality, if you have this like God is just, he wants me just to come and put my nose down and just grind out this Christian life, you can do that. But you don't have to. You humble yourself, but then you listen and you hear, friend, come up higher. And he draws you and he woos you and he asks you questions and he speaks to you as a friend would speak to his friend. Does that make sense to you guys tonight? I just want to release you tonight. God is calling us to be a kingdom of friends, a kingdom of kings and priests, not a kingdom of servants or slaves. That's not his heart. I want to read one more scripture tonight. One more. Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs 22:11. This is what it says. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. How many of you guys know that we need a king in our life that's also a friend? When we get stuck, we don't need a peer, we need a king to move all of heaven and earth on our behalf, right? Awesome. If you guys would stand with me tonight. We're going to pray. We're not going to, well, I'm going to do an altar call for salvation, but we're not going to, I don't want like some deep response. I just want you to be encouraged. Are you guys encouraged tonight? Are you encouraged in your faith that God wants more than a slave or a servant out of you, that he wants a relationship? Awesome. Tonight, I want to ask you guys one question, and that's this. That his kingdom is a different kingdom than this world. And if you love the things of this world and the kingdom of this world, it says that he is not in you. That means his friendship is not available to you. If you're here tonight and you've never said, Jesus, I make myself your slave, have my life, all of what I talked about tonight isn't available to you. If that's you tonight and you feel convicted, you feel the weight of your sin on your life, and you need a king to do something about your sin, I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise it up high. Awesome. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the calling that's on our lives. I just want you to hold your hands out kind of like in this way, okay? Can you do that for me? Awesome. God, I thank you for the calling that's on our lives. God, you have not called us to slavery and to servanthood, but you've called us to friendship and to intimacy with you, God. And God, right now, we as a congregation, as a group, we receive your friendship. God, we receive the words from your lips that say, friend, come up higher. And so, God, tonight we come and we humble ourselves, but you say, friend, come up higher. And right now, God, I'm asking for a release in the lives of us as young people here in this place, God, that we would receive a release to be your friend. God, we want to be in your counsel. God, we want to sit at your feet and feel your love and your goodness and your grace, God. So tonight, God, anyone who's struggling with this, I'm asking right now for a release. God, that you would cause the days of slavery to fade into the days of faith and friendship, God. We love you tonight. God, we want to serve you passionately tonight. God, we serve a friend, not a master. We serve a friend who is our master, but calls us up higher. And so, God, we hear your call tonight, and that's, friend, come up higher. And we say, yes, Lord, by your grace, thank you, we come up higher. Thank you, God. How we worship you tonight. Amen. Amen. Where's Kelsey at? Kelsey, if you want to come down front here, Kelsey is going on a mission trip to Russia. And is this your third or fourth? Third trip to Russia. So she's going, and I think there's a team that's going with her. So tonight, if you want to come and just pray, anybody else here that's on the team? Awesome. If you guys want to come up front, we're just going to pray for you and bless you. We believe that God wants to take you not just to Russia for a vacation, but he wants to actually fill you up so he can impart something in Russia through you. Amen? Awesome. Okay. So tonight, if you want to come and you want to pray for them, you're welcome to do it. And if you need prayer tonight, we're going to have some of our leaders up front. We're just going to be hanging out. Whatever you need. If you need a breakthrough in this area of friendship or anything else in your life, we want to pray for you and love on you. Amen.